It's Jordan Sanchez from the Revolution Morning Show, and I am here with Dr. Bindu Mayi from Nova Southeastern University. How are you, doctor?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me on this show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you taking some time off to address the listeners.
You're very welcome.
So I wanted to get to know more about you and why you're qualified to speak about the topic of coronavirus. Can you let me know more about that?
Certainly. My doctorate is in microbiology. My background is in infectious diseases. Infection prevention is something that I'm absolutely passionate about, and I have been doing it for over a decade now. Public health is something I'm naturally interested in, but really got my feet wet with antibiotic resistance when I was at University of Washington in Seattle and the Seattle Children's Hospital. And then when I came down here and started educating our health profession students, I found my interest to only get stronger and stronger. And Zika kind of consolidated that when we had Zika in South Florida. So this is a natural for me.
That's funny that you mentioned Zika. How can you compare the Zika situation to what's going on now with coronavirus?
So their modes of transmission are different. Zika came to us primarily as a mosquito-borne illness. And then, of course, once it was in humans, then humans could spread it to other humans by sexual transmission, blood donations, etc., or mother to fetus. That means when the mom is pregnant, she's able to pass it on to the unborn baby, and then the baby gets born with congenital infections. So this one is different. It's a respiratory illness. Initially, it came to us from an animal, and then once it took a hold in humans, now we see human-to-human transmission.
Okay, so what is the best thing we can do to make sure that we do our part to combat the virus?
I think all of us have to do our due diligence. So there are, when we talk about this current virus, there are some people who are at higher risk. And I think we all know that, who they are. So these are the very elderly, the immunocompromised, people who are battling chronic illnesses, those who are on chemo, etc. And for the most part, young people and children seem to be spared. That said, we don't know what they're battling on the inside. So there may be people who are immunocompromised, and they're the ones we want to protect. So all of us do our due diligence. And by that, I mean, let's have proper cough and sneeze etiquette. Let's not sneeze out into the air or cough into the air where these droplets can land on someone who is susceptible. Remember, we are still in the midst of flu season. So it may be flu that you're trying to recover from, or that your body is trying to fight, or it may be this new virus, but we don't know. In any case, if we trap those cough and sneeze particles, then we prevent you prevent yourself being the source of that infection, right? No one wants to be the source of an infection. So we stop that. We pay attention to good hand hygiene. That means after we cough and sneeze into a tissue or a handkerchief and dispose it off, then we wash our hands really well. If we are sick, stay away from other people. Let's use technology. Let's take advantage of that. Let's work from home if we are sick. Things like that.
Yes, definitely. And I get the sense that when we say social distancing, many people don't really understand what effective social distancing practices are. Can you talk about what we should be doing when it comes to social distancing?
Absolutely. If you were to define it, that social distancing is exactly as it sounds. You are deliberately increasing the physical space between you and the next person. And the reason to implement that is we don't know who may be carrying this virus, but we do know we want to stop the chain of transmission. We want to stop more and more people from being exposed to it. And the best way to do that is by increasing the social distance between you and the next person. And the reason for that, again, is the majority of us may be asymptomatic if we are exposed to the virus, but we are still contagious. That means we are infected with the virus, we show no symptoms, and yet we are able to transfer the virus from person to person. So when we increase the social distance, essentially we are trying to prevent us from infecting more and more people.
Right. And one thing that I wanted to ask you, what are some misconceptions you see people discussing out there that can lead to misunderstandings on how to effectively fight the virus?
Oh, one thing I heard, which was very upsetting, is that we should just let nature take its course. If it's going to kill people, let it just kill people. We're too overpopulated. I think that kind of reasoning is not humanistic, right? We, as far as possible, we want to help people. I think if given a choice, most people will say, yes, I want to live another day. Yes, life is beautiful. And, you know, without getting into the philosophy of it, I think we need to do away with reasoning like that. You know, that this is nature and we should just let nature take its course. I think we should lean more towards humanism. That's my personal opinion, and try to help people.
I absolutely agree. And did you have anything else that you feel like that the listener would benefit from that you want to discuss?
I think we didn't talk about symptoms, did we, Jordan?
No, we did not.
Yes. So the symptoms to watch out for would be fever, dry cough, and then shortness of breath. And the best thing to do if you are experiencing these symptoms, and again, mostly it will be in the elderly, but there are some young people who are also getting the signs and symptoms of the illness itself, then call your healthcare provider. But if you're having trouble breathing and need to call 911, and when someone makes that call, make sure to let them know that you're having trouble breathing. And if you've had a risk factor, for instance, if you just traveled back here from being outside the country or in a high-risk area or have been exposed to someone with the virus, then make sure to let them know.
Thank you so much for that information. I feel like the listeners would benefit from this. You know, a lot of misinformation is circulating around, and it's so good to hear something from the experts so that, you know, we could get a proper guidance on how to deal with this situation, which is so novel to us, really.
I know it is. But what I want listeners to know is, and prevention of infections is easy. All you have to do is educate yourself on how to prevent. But it is preventable.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mayi. I really appreciate it. It's Dr. Bindu Mayi from Nova Southeastern University.
Thank you, Jordan. I hope this is helpful. Take care. Stay safe.